Hello and welcome to Good Morning Thailand. Let's talk about some of the headlines from across the country. We're going to start with Happy New Year.
Happy New Year!
Once again. Yay. To everybody. A lot of people in Thailand are returning back to their offices today, officially. Now, we're going to start talking about a temple. And this New Year, a lot of people were reborn.
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean by that?
I guess.
Well, yeah, a temple's been offering New Year coffin ceremonies that lets you be reborn. Now, after partying hard on New Year's Eve, many of us start the year feeling pretty dead, you know. But for one temple at the edges of Bangkok, they took that feeling to the next level. A New Year's Day tradition sees temple followers crawl into coffins to invite good luck and rid themselves of bad luck for 2023. Now, Wat Takien in the Greater Bangkok suburb province of Nonthaburi invites its followers to take part in the ceremony, and people lay in open coffins with their hands pressed together in the Y position. Flowers and sticks of incense are placed between their hands. The devoted temple members will remain still in that pose, the same position the dead bodies are placed in before being incinerated in a crematorium. Buddhist monks pray over the coffins, chanting over the faux corpses. And whilst the ritual of lying in a coffin may seem strange, the symbolic idea behind it is very familiar. And many religions, cultures, and individuals view the New Year as a kind of rebirth, a fresh start. Now, the year 2022 and all the ups and downs that came with it are now basically dead and gone. Now 2023 has been born and we are cleansed with a chance to make a new year of triumphs and successes. So Wat Takien just physically acts out this process, and they perform the ritual each year for free but accept whatever donation the participants see fit. Similar ceremonies are not uncommon in Buddhism and can be found in Thailand, China, Japan, and Tibet in various different forms. In the Thai Chinese communities, a person's belongings are thrown into the grave instead, and the ceremony is believed to make people live longer and also bring good fortune and removes all the bad luck. It is meant to inspire people to live a good life of prudence and discretion, but reminding them that death cannot be escaped.
Right. That's pretty cool. I would definitely try that.
Well, this was the first time ever that I've heard about this ceremony.
Yeah, but I don't think it's widely
practiced. Yeah. It's not widely popular or practiced. Yeah.
And definitely not for the people who are claustrophobic.
Yes, definitely.
Because
I
didn't know that they put cloths on top of it as well, so you'll be boxed in.
With respect to people's beliefs and rituals, it's slightly creepy to me, you know?
I say that with respect. That's why I wanted to do it.
Like, hey, I'm in a coffin. Like, I don't want to pretend like I'm dead.
No? Oh, I do it all the day.
It's a possibility every day when we come to work on the motorbikes, you know?
Yes.
But still, it's like, it's a bit too real for me.
Mm.
But hey, if you feel reborn and you can start that's the boost you need to start your year, then good for you. You do you.
Mm.
All right. Now, on the topic of temples and monks, a monk is under fire over a bizarre ritual. I don't know if you've ever heard about this ritual, but you will be shocked. Natty.
Who? What is this?
A bizarre ritual?
Is it me? Ha ha! Yes, it is. It is a bizarre ritual. So a monk from a temple in Chonburi is under fire over his bizarre ritual of putting small pebbles onto the eyes of his followers. Actually, it's not onto, like when he says onto the eyes, it's literally on the eyeballs. So the eyes are open.
Okay.
The monk believes that the stones are relics of the Lord Buddha, have magical powers, and do not hurt anyone. A video and pictures of the strange ritual emerged on Facebook and TikTok. It shows a 69-year-old Pra Kru Wimon Tama Pirak or Kiang, the abbot of Wat Yai Promathan in the Banbung district of Chonburi, is putting a small stone into a woman's eye. The abbot left the stone there for 3 to 4 seconds and then removed it with some forceps. So it's for a very brief time, but still it's very scary. Many Thai netizens commented on the video saying that the action is highly dangerous and they urged the National Office of Buddhism to stop the ritual to prevent people from getting hurt. Kiang, the abbot, says that the stones are relics of the Lord Buddha and other famous monks in Thailand. So I don't know what relics means in this case. Does it mean the the bones of the late Lord Buddha. But that's scary.
Surely hope not, yeah.
He said he wanted to prove the magical powers of the relics because religion seemed to be the only spiritual anchor to cheer people up during business and government failure. So he was taking a little dig on some stuff as well. The abbot says that he uses the relics on the eyes because they are the body's most sensitive organ. He added that he is following the beliefs and rituals that have been passed down through the generations. One of Kiang's followers told the media that he has also taken part in the ritual twice himself. Officers from the District Public Health Office and the National Office of Buddhism visited the temple on January 2nd and told the abbot that it was inappropriate, and the abbot promised that he would stop doing it. But guess what? This is not the first time people have participated in a bizarre ritual. One group of Thai people were reported to consume the feces, urine, and skin flakes. Okay, that's gross. I just read that. Of a 75-year-old cult leader in Isan province in the belief that it would make them immune from diseases.
Oh, yeah, I know about that story. I talked about it on GMT, actually.
Yuck.
Yeah, that was a while back.
Wow, feces. You can get salmonella from that. But anyways,
That's not the only reason you shouldn't try feces, but yes. This is perhaps not as bad, but yeah, putting a small pebble or stone in your eyeball can be dangerous, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, even for a couple seconds, because you don't know. Sometimes you can't help but blink because it's a foreign object, and then you go beep, and then there you go.
Yeah.
Scratch your cornea.
Yeah. I always refrain myself from commenting on, you know, cult leaders or rituals or monks in general, because religion makes many people quite sensitive and they get very defensive. But like even India, for example, has a relationship with a lot of fake, scammy cult leaders and you know, men who pretend to be these gurus or monks and make people follow anything, and sometimes when people need guidance, they'll just blindly follow anyone.
Yeah.
So don't literally go blind following someone, because it is a possibility if you put pebbles in your eye. So do be careful.
Yes.
Do be careful. That's all I'm going to say. All right. On that note, let's go over to Phuket for a moment, because foreigners, are they the cause of motorbike accidents in Phuket? Now, as Thailand has seen the tail end of the dreaded 7 days of danger, that's what's basically for 7 days in Phuket, the police go really hard to stop road accidents, only for 7 days, apparently, where road accidents and death tend to spike over the New Year holiday. So I believe it's 3 days before and 4 days after. Officials in Phuket are focusing on the number of accidents involving foreigners on the road. And basically, the general consensus is that foreigners on holiday renting motorbikes and driving, they drive poorly and dangerously. And that seems to be a common denominator in the number of accidents reported on the island. It's mostly foreigners on holidays. The briefing was delivered by the chief of the Phuket Provincial Office and of the Department of Disaster Prevention and Mitigation, who went over the daily figures, and they were discussing how and what the issue was. They proposed creating new rules or measures to control foreigners renting motorbikes to prevent them from driving recklessly on the road. Yeah, I was thinking about that as well. How about asking them for a driving license? That could be a start. Details were not reported on whether they are considering stricter road laws for foreigners or perhaps some laws regulating who is allowed to rent a bike, like verifying a license or ability and experience driving a motorbike before being allowed to rent. Motorbikes are involved in more accidents than any other type of vehicle, and the cause behind most accidents were risky driving, drunk driving, and speeding. Increasingly, in light of the push towards limiting foreigners as a danger on the road, the nationalities of the people involved in road accidents in the report were not mentioned.
Okay.
What do you think about foreigners coming from random countries around the world with perhaps no understanding of, you know, a foreign country's road laws, driving laws, inability to read the signs, just being able to rent a bike?
I mean, you should be able to do that if you have the proper license, like especially an international driving license, because that's internationally approved.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just unfortunate, like the way the roads are in Thailand and the way people drive here in Thailand also are not quite similar to those in other countries, especially first world nations where they have very strict laws. So I can understand, even though it's not the foreigner's fault or anything, that there might be more accidents by the, I mean, like they get more, how do you say it? They would get more in trouble, right? Because they, like the Thai, the local Thai people have been driving like this, legally or not, like since 14. So they know how to navigate the streets. But these people have come from a completely different background and they're like, oh no, like why is this person cutting in when it's red light? You know, they don't, they can't gauge.
I completely agree. I think definitely they need a license and they need a form of identification, like who's buying the bike, are they capable of driving the, buying the bike. That's very important. And yes, you're right, Nettie, that in the sense of Thai people driving motorbikes is already crazy enough, especially in Bangkok. I look at the wild driving and but they're used to that. They're used to the craziness and that's something you will not be able to adjust to. Just coming to a country for the first time or even the 10th time. These people live the life.
Yeah.
They live the life of the Fury Road.
Right.
But there's two sides of looking at it. Can I make a point?
Yes.
I'm just going to go off the limb here. It's a mini rant. Don't worry. I am all for going to a foreign country with your mates. You know, you're on holiday or with your partner, you know, and like... We're in the wild, wild west sometimes when you think about like laws in Thailand, as in I can come here, I don't need a driving license. I can rent a motorbike from some small shop in on the island of Phuket and drive around, you know, shirtless or whatever. And hey, that's cool. That's fun. I completely get it. It's the full island experience. And you go back home and you talk about it to your friends. Oh, I went to some, you know, Koh Lanta or in Phuket Island. I was driving a motorbike. It was nuts, bro. Oh, yeah, great. Then there's a side of me as a local, right? As a tourist, I would love to do that in Bali. But as a local in Phuket, oh, my God, I hate it. There are so many erratic drivers. I mean, yes, in general, I don't like motorbike drivers. I'm not talking about the people who actually know how to drive motorbikes. I'm talking about, you know, 15-year-olds with no helmet and like four people on a motorbike and just cutting, no signaling and stuff. And then on top of that, you add foreigners on holidays. You know, you've got some, without mentioning nationalities or whatever, but like, you know, some drivers are just erratically driving, they're driving for the thrill of it, and they know that they can get away with it, right? They're not wearing helmets, they're driving crazy around there, they're just like, they get other people into accidents. So yeah, they definitely, I think, need to be verified, because there are a lot of foreigners who come here on holiday, they wear helmets, they follow all the rules, they stop on every red light, and kudos to you, you're doing the right thing and you're hopefully not going to get into an accident. But again, that's not guaranteed, because a lot of people come to Thailand as foreigners, as people on tours, and drive stupidly in Phuket, in places like Phuket, in places like Pattaya. There's a lot of them with accidents. It's like an ongoing joke with the locals. You'll always see, like, even if you make a random visit to a hospital or anywhere near a hospital, you'll see a lot of foreigners with like patches of like bandages everywhere because they fell off the bike. Mm-hmm. And I look at them and I just feel bad. I'm like, you're here on a holiday, and the last thing you want is to get all these grazes and be injured, and like you can't go to the beach and you can't enter the sea anymore. Mm-hmm. So I would always suggest them to like pay that a little bit extra and just take a tuk-tuk, even though some of them are very scammy and overpriced. Yeah. But it's better than just hurting yourself. So here's a plea. This is what needs to happen. Firstly, the government needs to do a better job to stop these small shops from just renting out bikes to anyone. Secondly, a person with a license deserves to drive a motorbike because they've done it legally and they know how to operate the bike, and it's extremely easy to get a motorbike license in Phuket.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've gone on long enough.
Goody.
On my
you got
rant.
You feel good, better, liberated. All right. Yeah.
I just want people to be safe. I just want a safer environment for locals and tourists to enjoy together, and not like make it bad for anyone. You know. Yeah. All right. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break and a quick breather. But after, we will come back with some more funny and good stories here in Thailand, because it's Thailand and it's always something crazy going on here. So we'll be back right after this.
Ready and join the fun at Carnival Magic, the world's first Thai carnival theme park. Don't miss the opportunity to experience the enchantment of the magical wonders at the one, the only, Carnival Magic Phuket.
Welcome back. You're watching Good Morning Thailand. And this show is brought to you by Carnival Magic, one of the newest and largest attractions in Kamala, Phuket. If you do get a chance to visit Phuket, consider traveling to Carnival Magic. It's very family friendly. It's very partner friendly. You know, boyfriend, girlfriends, everything in the middle. It's a great place to go. So, visit Carnival Magic next time you go. We made a video about it. So if you do have any reserved thoughts about, oh, is this for me? Check out our video and I think we will be able to change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And be careful when you visit the toilet. That's all I'm going to say.
My favorite part.
That's all I'm going to say. Right. Hey, Natty, you know when you like go around train stations or airports, they often have big signs. So this next story is about how much does a train sign cost?
Right. So Transport Minister Saksayam Sichop, he has been sniffing and smelling corruption coming from a 33 million baht budget for a new sign at Bangkok Central train station, whose name is changing from Bangsu Junction to Bangkok Apiwat Central Station.
Wow.
I don't know why they want to change the name all of a sudden.
So 33 million baht to change a train sign.
Yeah, pretty much. So the State Railway of Thailand, or we're going to call it SRT, allegedly signed a contract approving of a budget of 33,169,726.39 baht for a new sign to reflect the train station's new identity. The hefty sum left officials wondering if it really costs over 33 million baht to replace a sign, even if it's a big one. So for comparison, 30 million baht could buy you a six-bedroom luxury pool villa in Phuket's sought-after Rawai district on worldwideweb.fazwas.com. That was a huge plug-in for Fazwas there. So Public Health Minister Anutin Chanbudakun and Transport Minister Saksayam Sichop ordered relevant agencies to investigate potential corruption in the budget within 7 days. If corruption is found, the contract will be terminated and those involved will be punished, said Anutin. Now, I'm not too sure why the public health minister is chiming in on this issue, but okay. Yesterday, senior executive of Unique Engineering and Construction Company Limited presented a letter to the manager of the Stock Exchange of Thailand dated December 29th. The letter allegedly evidenced that on December 29th, the construction company signed a contract with the SRT to take down the old Bangsu Junction sign and replace it with the Bangkok Apiwat Central Station sign for 33 million baht. So what they're saying is like, look, it's in the contract. This is all correct. However, the event's investigation was launched yesterday and will take no longer than 7 days under Anutin and Saksayam's orders. Anything unusual in the contract may be cancelled, or even still, whoever is responsible may be punished soon, says Saksayam. And guess what? Just last week, Thailand was ranked fourth least corrupt country in Asia and the 35th least corrupt country in the world. And that's by U.S. News.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
33 million baht to change a sign. I mean, it must be made out of something spectacular.
Maybe gold or something.
I don't know. Can't they just break down the old sign, you know, like melt it and then reforge it?
Dude, like, it cannot cost, even if it was a brand new one, I'll give at best 5 million. 33 million, you can buy, like, I don't know, like a mansion, a couple properties. I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you could probably house each and every worker in the Bangsu station.
Pretty much,
for that amount of money. You could build little houses for them right next to the station to improve efficiency. Yeah. Also, to note, Bangsu, one of the best names for a train station ever, only in Thailand.
Bangsu.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
We had a lot of fun with that as children.
Okay, yes.
All right.
Even as adults.
Anyhow. Even as adults.
Also, Shitlom. And anyways, let's go.
Moving on.
Yes.
Our last story today, ladies and gentlemen, is regarding a mobile phone gone crazy. So here we go. It's story time with Jay. And I'm going to end the show today with a nice little story. A lucky tourist got his mobile phone back after leaving it in a taxi in Phuket, where actually the driver had initially thrown it away in anger.
Whoa.
Yeah. So a Kuwaiti tourist basically reported that he forgot his phone in the van. He called the minivan service, and the minivan service said, no, I did not find any phone. But the tourist was adamant that, yes, I left it in the phone. He went to the police. He reported it. And the police then basically later found out that the taxi driver had actually found the phone, but he threw it at Karan Beach. Yeah, he threw it away. And he said, I threw it away because I was angry at the passenger. The passenger was commenting on my driving and calling it bad, and he was being a bit rude to me. He hurt my feelings. Aww. So after I found his phone, I just threw it away on the beach in Karan.
Okay.
To which the police basically tried to track down the phone in Karan Beach, and eventually found it on the south side of the island in Shillong.
How is that possible?
Yeah. So they actually interrogated the driver. This is how serious they took this phone incident. Yeah, so after the driver admitted to taking the Kuwaiti man's mobile phone, according to the... he said that his customer spoke badly and that's why it happened. But at the end of the day, police were able to use GPS trackers to trace it to Shillong. And the phone was then found in Karan by another tourist.
Hmm.
Just on the beach. And he said, oh, I thought it was an abandoned phone. I just found a really nice phone on the beach. No chance of someone forgetting a nice phone on the beach. So I just took it with me to Shillong.
Oh.
Yeah. So he was just like, oh, I mean, good luck. And he pocketed the phone. And the mobile phone was then eventually recovered after the wild journey it took from the north to the south. And yeah. And now the phone has been reunited with the foreigner.
Oh, yay.
With the foreign tourist.
Rather. Yeah. Well, he got lucky, honestly. Like, typically when you lose something of that value, you would never get it back. So,
yeah.
He had luck on his side.
So let's see what really happened, right? Is it possible that the tourist was maybe a little bit of a jerk?
Yeah, for sure.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Because I think Thai people are very kind, and they're only a few things really bug them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if he was disrespectful or if he was rude, the driver got upset.
Mm-hmm.
And on his way back after dropping the tourist, he threw his phone away on the Karan Beach, which was then found by another tourist or another person who just was like, oh, nice, I got a new phone. And then took it back to his home, to which the police very diligently, I guess there were no other crimes happening on the island, took the whole time to track down the phone all the way to Shillong and return it to this one Kuwaiti man.
Right. Wow.
Next time you lose your phone, Nettie,
but
you
know
go to
you
the
have
popo.
To. Yeah, but you have to register it first, you know, especially if you have an iPhone. I don't know. There's TikTok stuff about that. I haven't done it yet, just in case I throw
You mean
mine.
The Find My Phone?
Yeah, Find My Phone.
You have not registered
I haven't
for that?
Oh, no. Yeah, I haven't.
Isn't that the first thing you do?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Are you going to steal my phone now?
No comments.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, make sure that you've got GPS tracking on your phone, I guess.
Yes.
Or not. Many people are against that.
I'm not. I'm just lazy.
Well, I hope that the police are this diligent for all that goes wrong on the country, on the island, or everywhere in Thailand. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. We'll see you live once again tomorrow morning. Until then, take care. See you. Bye-bye.
Ta-ta.